Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. If you're wondering out on the web stream why I'm wearing my Nashville Predators jersey, this is the hockey segment you've been waiting for. We're going to be up at Greenmount Station on Thursday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, Back to the Future Scratch. I'll still have TVs everywhere. And on one of those TVs, there'll be the Stanley Cup Finals coming on and last place baseball for the Orioles. We'll also be at Fadley's next Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by Curio Wellness, as well as our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions. This guy is like Earl Weaver. I did the Earl Weaver book earlier here. Earl once told a manager he's going to the effing Hall of Fame. This guy is going to the Hockey Hall of Fame, and he's been my friend since we've been very young people. He is bragging about his sunburn on his head because he's actually seen the sun for the first time since he's taken the job as the general manager of my now Nashville Predators. This is my old jersey.
Yeah.
You had this made for me back
Back
20
when we
years
were.
ago, 20 years ago, Barry, maybe.
Yep. Yeah.
First
Yeah,
time you had the
about
mustard
20 years.
jerseys, I think it was,
Yeah.
right?
Probably 21 years now.
Still misfits me, but it looks really good with pads underneath of it. It's number one on the back, which makes me a goalie in your world. How is the new gig working out for you? I mean, I think we can all look at standings and see challenges and see all of that. I'm interested in Barry, my friend, who was the Western League scout, who became the assistant to the assistant coach and the assistant coach and the head coach, and all of this. This is a different job for you, right? This is a change of life for you a little later in life. You're pretty good at the coaching thing for sure, huh?
Yeah, and there's no question. I think that everybody goes through. I was coaching for, started coaching when I was 22, and all of a sudden you're turning 60, and you're going, you know what? I probably time to let it go for the younger guys and let them do the coaching, and you get, good at what you do, I guess, when you do it for so many years, and looking for a new challenge. And when this opportunity came up, I got a call from David, and still I was getting calls from a number of teams on the coaching gig. And I, believe it or not, I got a call from a team this year, seeing if I was going to stay as general manager. So I guess that I made an impression coaching over the years. But I think it was, for me, Nashville's been my home. I came here in '97, and David was gave me the opportunity to start here. And I thought it'd be a great thing to go full circle. And I have a real appreciation for all the stuff that David did over the years and given me an opportunity, but also all the stuff that you didn't know when you were sitting in his seat. And it's easy to sit in someone else's seat and say, oh, I wonder what he's doing. He got the team set. Now he just probably sitting up there and just evaluating the whole time. I don't have enough hours in a day, it seems, on sometimes. I think the biggest difference between coaching and managing is that when you're coaching, you're in the fire for a defined amount of time, be it 9 or 10 months, and then you're able to walk away a little bit and at least recharge your batteries. And you're still working on hockey stuff, but you're doing it on your own time. As a general manager, you have a maybe not as an intense burn all year, but you have a burn the whole year round. You really don't never leave your phone. Getting away. I have a place, as in British Columbia, and used to go there for, probably 6 weeks a year. Recharge your batteries. Get some good R&R. I've been there 7 or 8 days, maybe in the last 2 years. So. I've taken, I think, 2 4-day sort of trips just to try to recharge, but it's not enough. So
When your phone's on.
and your phone's on all the time. So as a manager, and especially here, because we're quite with the Predators, are both sides are really, really connected. You're really in sitting in this seat, you have probably 120 employees, whereas a coach, you really have to worry about 30 people. So, as long as your door is open, people are walking through it and asking for stuff. So, a lot of meetings, and we're doing a lot of different things with our hockey team, not only on the ice but off the ice. We're putting about $1 billion, close to $1 billion, into the building in the next 10 years. So, becoming a little bit of a contractor and future builder with the rest of the organization. Bill Haslam, his new owner, is fantastic. And then, we've had a practice rink that's been here for, same practice rink when I started here.
I've been to that practice rink.
Yeah, and it's
over
probably
Vanderbilt, right?
Yeah, right by Vanderbilt. So it needs a we need a new one. So that one's going to be torn down and sort of putting everything in place. Which when it's all done, it'll be state of the art and future proof for a long, long time, which is the key to anything in this business.
You brought the first sheet of ice to Nashville, didn't you? At that point, like
Well,
there
I
had
don't know if
never.
I brought an additional sheet because we added on to our the original Centennial Arena. So, but we need more ice rinks. Nashville's grown; it's become a lot of people have moved here. A lot of ex-NHLers have moved here. Anybody who's played in California is moving to Tennessee when they retire, it seems. So, not only in the hockey world, but I know Major League Baseball. Vanderbilt has a terrific program, and they send a lot of major leaguers, return here and live here. And the NFL has discovered Nashville as well. So not only do we have the music industry and the entertainment industry, we've got the sports industry moving into Nashville, and it's a great place. It's I believe it's about twice the size it was when I came here 25 years ago.
Well, you wouldn't recognize it, the younger version of you, right? I mean, I was coming down there in the 90s, especially when the Titans came on and you brought the team there. Like it's become the it city. And when
Yeah.
it came time for you to say, I'm going to keep coaching, or this opportunity is why you didn't want to be a general manager of another team, right? This was about the city and the opportunity, and you saying, I want to do something different with my life, because it would have been very, very easy for you to continue to coach, even if you didn't want to, because they were willing to pay you quite handsomely to do it. This was, I mean, being your friend all of these years,
Yeah.
I'm finding this fascinating. It's the first conversation we've had, but I talked to you for a little bit last week to sort of set this thing up. And since then, I've been thinking a lot about you and how much your job has changed, and how, as even as a really astute media guy, and I think I am, thinking, well, it's not that much different coaching, and it's a different job, right? And you knew that,
Totally.
but you also welcome that. And then when you get into it, you realize you got to get young again, right?
Yeah, I think just like anything, you get to a point where I felt the coaching wise that it takes a lot out of you. And I want to say that I was ready for it, a little bit of a different challenge. Like when you do something for 45 years, or not, 40 some years, and you're doing it, and I think I became fairly efficient at it. I was just looking for a little bit of different boost, a little change, not a midlife crisis, a late night,
You're
late
looking
life
to work
crisis.
even more.
Well, I was ready for retirement. Honestly, I was. And then, I was intrigued by the fact, I could have made a lot more money coaching than I am as a general manager. Some of the teams that were in some of their offers, but I just felt that time to come home, and there's an opportunity to, Nashville was getting older as a team. It was in transition. David did a fantastic job of, the team got in the playoffs, I think, 14 of the last 15 years. And that was a real good job. Didn't have a lot of draft choices. So it was a little bit of a re-something, a little bit of, I didn't want to say a rebuild, but trying to thread the needle. We still had some good players. We have Roman Josi and Saros and Forsberg and people like that, Colton Sissons. But we felt if we could add a couple pieces, we could stay relevant. But we made a couple deals of moving Ekholm, who still was a very good defenseman. We moved past Duchesne, Johansson. We just moved by a lot of people. Tanner Janot, we collected draft choices. David did a great job with that. And we started rebuilding and trying to build a roster, a young roster underneath the existing roster that's here, but still trying to be fairly relevant. And last year, we went into free agency and signed Stamkos and Marchessault and replaced, moved Ryan McDonagh. He wanted to go back to Tampa and get back home with his family. And so we got Brady Shea. So we added some pieces. But at the same time, by adding those pieces, the expectations and the way we played changed a little bit. and got off to a terrible start and never really got into the mix all year. So it was a really tough year. The blessing of it, we have the fifth pick overall this year. Some of our young guys that we thought would come up maybe after, Christmas and play a few games and get their toe in the water a little bit, they actually played, 30, 40, 50 games. So the development curve on some of these guys has moved up a little bit. I felt that what we did last year at free agency would buy us, sort of 18 months to 2 years, and then start flipping over the young kids and getting a blend. We just have to move the timeline up a little bit, and we're very fortunate that we got a lot of kids. Our scouts have done a pretty good job drafting sort of in that, let's say, that mushy middle. So we've got some kids coming that are developing. Or Milwaukee has been to the conference final 2 of the last 3 years. They lost in game five this year, which is the best of the five, to Texas, or they would have made a third straight trip there. So we've got kids coming, and I wanted to add serial winners to our organization. I think I've done that with Shea and Stamkos and Marchessault, and those are O'Reilly. They've all won cups. They've all been instrumental in success. So we're trying to surround our kids with those type of people.
Barry Trotz is our guest, a future Hall of Famer, now the general manager, not the head coach of the Nashville Predators. I have my old mustard Predator jersey out that Trotzy gave me about 20 years ago. I haven't fanged finger down with you. I haven't been to a hockey game since I walked out of the building in Las Vegas the night you won the Stanley Cup. I haven't really watched hockey in that period of time, and I've been rather on the record about my relationship with the Lyonsis family in the aftermath of you, but from a fan standpoint, it feels like 5 minutes ago. I have a lot of Caps fans in my life, including Leonard Raskin, talking about Ovechkin chasing the record, all that they represented, the President's Trophy this year, and all that that happened. For someone like you, and I think in the business, no matter who it is, whether it's John Harbaugh on the football side or Lord knows Brandon Hyde on the baseball side here, one day gone tomorrow, what you did in Nashville as a head coach for all of those years and sort of seeing through the beginning and wanting to go back here, and you called it home, I guess in your case. The notion that the Islanders were all those years, and there's been a lot that's happened since you walked off the ice with the Stanley Cup, and it's not like you did what I did, which is just sort of drop your hat and say, I'm done. It's good. I'm good. I waited 40 years for a cup. I did it with my friend. I had the greatest night ever in Las Vegas because of you. I felt like sort of like walking off at the end, that you've done a lot since then that may never top that night, or you're chasing that night in a different way. But all the years later, what is all of that? Do you think about that much? Or when you see a Caps jersey, you see Ovechkin doing all that he was doing, but you're so locked into what you're doing, it's sort of yesterday's news to some degree when you've done it, even though you spent your whole life doing it.
Yeah, no, you're correct. I mean, you move on to those moments. You still have the relationships. I mean, I text Ovi this year when he hit some of those milestones, and he still he was the best. He always called me champ or boss man when I coached him, and I'd say, hey, he got re-energized, and I think that team, there was a energy with that team that being at the 50th year of the franchise, he's chasing the record. They were having a blast. They really were. And it was nice to see. I my time in Washington was great. The relationships that I had with all those the people, the players, the trainers, that's never going to go away. We did something special. It's funny. Everybody talks about chasing the Stanley Cup and getting a ring and all that. And you know what you really chase, and this is me, and the way I think I'm probably wired is that, it's great to have a ring. I've put it on once since I've got it. It's in a safe place. I showed my family. Well, actually, I put it on twice. I put it on once when the team gave it to me when they came into the island the year after. And I put it on once for my family, and that's been it. I have a fake one that I show it to people because they always say, "Hey, can I see your ring?" And I have a fake one that looks like it. It's probably made out of lead, from China or something like that. But the Stanley Cup. I mean, I never want to be defined by any metal or diamonds or anything like that. I want to be defined with the relationships I created with the players, and we did something special. So, and they say, what was winning the Stanley Cup? A lot of people talk about the rings and the cup. I just talk about the journey with those guys. I mean, that's the stuff that stays with you forever. I mean,
What
you
feels closer than it really is, objects in the rearview mirror, like the
yeah.
song, the Meatloaf song, but like he's still playing it and in the red and still, all that. It feels
Oh
like
yeah.
it wasn't that long ago. It feels probably a long time ago to you. That's all I'm saying. And
Yeah,
probably to
oh
anybody that
yeah.
hasn't tasted that success of doing that because you chased that your whole life. And he's still chasing it again, right? Ovechkin, like,
Yeah.
hey, I thought he's going to come back and play again next year because he can. And you're
Yeah.
the general manager because you can. And you take on challenges because of who you are, right?
Yeah, I think, if you're a player or if you're a coach, you're naturally competitive. And so what happens is that there is an age. I always found that when I went from coaching to the general manager's seat, I said I hated game day the most as a general manager, because I missed the adrenaline on the bench, the energy on the bench. You would get an adrenaline high, game day. During the game, you'd have a crash after the game, win or lose. You'd have a crash, and then you start it over again. As a general manager, you're removed, you're part of it, and you're still invested, but it's not the same adrenaline. For me anyways, because I've been in the fold on the bench, and the bickering and the teams going at it, bickering at each other, and the trash talk, and the trying to outcoach the other coach and making adjustments, and being in the moment and being emotionally just all invested. You're still emotionally invested, but just a different level of intensity. When you're on the bench, it's like being watching it in HD. And then when you're up as a general manager and I'm up in the crow's nest there, it feels like I'm watching 70s TV up there. It's not as acute and that, but you're still emotionally involved, but you're looking at it at a little different perspective. As a coach, you're trying to win the day. As a general manager, you're trying to win the day, but you're also trying to win the year. And it might be 4 years down the road type of thing. You're always planning that way, where I think as a coach, your focus is strictly on winning the day.
How often do you get mad at your coach? Say, I wouldn't have done that. I mean, that's probably the first thing that I would think. That's natural, right? To say, I
It
made
is.
that decision every minute for 40 years, and now I can't make that decision. And I can't second guess it, but I wouldn't have done
Yeah.
that.
The first year I did not, I was very conscious of not doing that.
It's the hardest thing in the world to not do.
It is. And I was very, very conscious of that my first year. All the things that I hated the general manager doing, to me as a coach, I didn't do any of that. I made sure that I was totally the opposite.
What's your number one rule thing you'll never do as a general manager to the coach that you didn't like as a coach? What is that thing?
I wouldn't tell them who to play. I won't do that in front of a group. I've always said to Bruno, and I think it's Bruno's the only coach that I've had. And he's a former player with me. I think I'm a little bit of a probably a been a mentor to him when he got into coaching. That I said to him, whatever decision you make is the right decision.
I need
And
a
I
boss like you. Can you be my boss? Can I be your
yeah,
coach?
but when it doesn't work out, it's not necessarily the right decision all the time.
I made a
But,
recommendation.
yeah. But I think what I've made sure that if it, I come down after the game, and if I want to say anything to the group, I know some general managers come down and they want to make suggestions, and they do it in front of everybody, or they're not happy and they do it in front of everybody. I do not do that. I used to hate that.
Because you're working backwards from it after that, sure.
Yeah. And so
I
it's
call that wildcatting in a general, like when I ran a business, I'm like, we don't wildcat in the meetings. You know, like it's not good. It's not good.
no. So if I have any problem with Bruno, I will generally say, just come into my office here, because I have a small office for, sending players up and down, or just a private space right next to the locker room, or the coach's room, I should say. And I'll just pull them in and say, hey, I didn't, I what are we trying to do there? Just fill me in on what you're trying to do. And this is what I saw. And try to be respectful. If you have a horrible game, we aren't talking about that game after the game. We're gonna sleep on it, and then cooler heads will prevail the next day.
Well,
So
I can make an observation here in the history of the sport, and I don't want to say it as a stat, but the thing that you and Poile had for the longest time, not dissimilar to Harbaugh and Ozzie and one guy running the Ravens here, there haven't been a whole lot of franchises where if you and David could work it out, you worked it out forever and ever to the end until you weren't there anymore. You had never really worked for another general manager till you came to DC, right? I mean, like that. There is only one way. There was a predator way of doing it, for better or worse, and that's the way you knew.
Yeah, exactly. And then obviously when I went to Washington, it was a little bit different. And then when I went to the island, it was a little bit different. So I think I tried to take the best of the things that David used to do, try to take the best of what Mac did, and take the best of what Lou does. And I understand that everybody has their own style. I try to incorporate everything. There's things that as a in a manager's situation, you have more tentacles. As a coach, you're just coaching the team, so you're in charge of all your assistant coaches. So you've got the power play, you got the penalty kill, and you oversee that. In the areas, as a general manager, I'm still learning. You have to learning the CBA, the rules, all the interest, all those sort of tentacles that come off the business side, salary cap, dealing with agents. That's the one thing that I, as a coach, you're able to do things quick. Now you're dealing with agents who will, to get a contract done, it might take you months. And I'm learning patience.
Well, I was going to say, and this was my observation literally from talking to you last week to today. This was going to be the crux of, here's my wisdom in all of this. You sat on the bench and made lots of right here, right now, urgent decisions that, for better or worse, it worked, it didn't work. Like, to your point, what your coach goes through, you know that gig pretty good. This gig here, nothing ha there aren't fast decisions at ever, right? Like, there's no other than a draft pick, and you even have 5, 10 minutes to figure that out if you want to. None of it happens bang bang as the general manager. Maybe a trade or call, an injury, something like that that would affect you, but decision making is all much more topside, strategic, well thought out, sleep on it. There's nothing sleep on it with coaching. It's happening right now. The clock's going. It has to happen right now. That's a totally different way your mind works, I think, right?
Yeah, it does. And sometimes it's frustrating for me. No, there's no question. It is. You talk about trying to get a deal done with an agent. You have a deal, you think it's that totally, and then the deal's right there, and they'll, can you add this on? No. Can you add this on? No. Okay, do we have a deal? No. Can we add this on? And you're like, enough, enough. We're paying you a lot. It's a fair deal. But I do know that the whole negotiating, David was very good at it, and stubborn at it. I think he's passed that on to his son Brian.
What's he doing now? Do you call him, get a little advice once in a while? Yeah.
David is a advisor to the staff. Yeah,
All
so
right. So you
I
still
they,
have him. You can, he can
yes.
bail you out from time to time, help you out,
Bail
yeah.
me out and give me direction. I still have to say I'm my own man, if you will. I came in and he handed me the keys, and I did some bold moves right out of the gate. I mean, there was no, I wasn't messing around. I don't know if David would have done that or not, you know. He's got a lot more patience, and but he's also got he's forgot more about this game and this position that I'm in than, you know, he's forgot more than I know after, you know, a couple of years in this seat. So you know, I value every time he calls, he goes, you know, my is this too much information? You know, like I don't mean to, you know. And I said, no. I said, anytime you talk, just keep talking, because every time you're talking, there's lots of wisdom in there. So we have a good relationship that way.
Last thing, Barry Trotz is here. He is the general manager of the Nationals Brewers. I want to bring this to you from the because you were here in Baltimore many years ago. People don't remember that, but there are pictures. There's actually hockey cards where you had a
Yeah,
lot of hair. With it,
nice brown suit, you know.
you look great. Yeah, you
I
can buy
did.
that out on eBay. I've seen that. The notion that like all of these years later, you go back to Nashville and you said to me, you called it home. And I remember running into David Poile in the press box in Anaheim during the 1998 Super Bowl. I was out there in San Diego. I drove up and I ran into David and he said, I hired Barry Trotz to be my coach. We're going to be called the Nashville Predators. And I'm like, Nashville's got an NHL. What? Wait, tell me about this. And then you went there and made it work for 2 decades. It's there now. The city's built. Country music, Garth Brooks, all that going on, all the football team, everything that's happened there. For you to go back there and try to make it work, and understanding that you were around when they were picking the color schemes, when they were picking the name, first in employees, you were all of that. There's just something different about that. And here in Baltimore, as I have Camden Yards over my shoulder, which wasn't here. We were trying to keep the baseball team when you were the hockey coach here with the Skipjacks when we didn't keep the hockey team. There's just something about finishing something you start, and there's something about, as we lost Jim Henneman, famous sports writer here last week, and all of these old Orioles people came in, and we had this new ownership here, and it's not going well. You can look at the standings, that there is something about institutional knowledge, institutional memory, and something that's very special to you about that organization. You wouldn't have wanted to have been the general manager some other place and going into another place. There was something really important about you coming back. And I know you probably don't think about it much when you drive into town and go to your office or whatever. But like I said, you brought the first sheet of ice to Nashville. I mean that sort of from, and I think everybody in Nashville would see it that way as well. But there is something about when that's in your blood, you want to come back and make sure that it's done right, and you want to be there when the cup comes to Nashville.
Yeah, I want to, you know, I know that when I came here, you know, we moved a lot of great pieces, the Granlins, the Ekholms, you know, sort of, you know, say going into a little bit of a rebuild mode, but at the same time, we still had some good players that trying to thread the needle, very similar to what Washington did. You know, we wanted to build a roster, a future roster, because what happened, David did such a good job. The Preds got into the playoffs year in and year out, that you're using those draft choices to add players at the deadline. When you're drafting players, you get a young player and you need that extra piece to get in the playoffs or to add to it. Those players sort of got pushed back a little bit. So I know that we were trying to we're in a position now where we've got some good players, but they're getting older, and father time always wins. That I'm going to try to leave I'll say a pathway for all a lot of the young players. We have to, because that's going to be our future. We're trying to create a roster, a future roster that will be very, very competitive with our city, with the no state, with a team that treats their players right. I think we feel like we can be one of those top 10 teams that everybody wants to be a part of, and sort of shrink the NHL, if you will. So we're creating we got a real long prospect list, adding a number 5 pick. This year we got 5, 23, and 26, 35 and 55 in the first two
You
rounds.
got to go then. You got scouting to do. You're going to make that many picks in the biz. This is the
Yeah.
most important day of the year for you, right?
Yeah, it really is. So we need to create a ghost roster, which in the future, and it probably will be for the for the next general manager to step in and be in a great spot. Nashville is my team. I've coached in Washington, I coached in the island, but I've had, almost a 20-year history with this team, that I want to leave it in a great spot for, my replacement eventually. And hopefully that parade down, we have a parade every day in Nashville. You just have to go on Broadway. I mean, it's crazy, but if we win a cup in Nashville, Tennessee, it will be one of the biggest parties ever,
I
just
got to
because.
come down and participate again. I've been out of hockey too long, Trots. I mean, I got to come down. So here's a problem. Now you're running the thing. If I come down, I'm not going to see you on a game day because you're going to have your game face on. And then I try to come down for like Ronnie Millsap or something country in your alley, and you're like, dude, I'm the general manager of the Predators. I'm drinking from the fire hose. So like I don't know, but I'm glad to have spent this 20 minutes with you, and I love you and I appreciate you. And I hope to be there when you go into the Hockey Hall of Fame, and I hope to be there when you raise the Stanley Cup the next time. But I was there the last time, the first
Yes, we
time.
had a lot of fun with that.
We did have a lot of fun with that, didn't
We
we?
did. I was exhausted after that.
Oh, well,
Because
listen,
I
you're
was
exhausted
exhausted.
right now trying to win. So,
Yeah, I was exhausted after we won the cup, and then we had about a week of I'll say a lot of refreshments and not a lot of sleep. So there's nothing like it. The best thing in the world is honestly, if you win a Stanley Cup, you get to share it with everybody who's important in your life, and you're very important in my life. And we sort of grew up together, cut our teeth, you as a young reporter, me as a young coach.
gonna make
And
me cry. Don't do it.
so as we age, the memories are really what matters. And we've created some great ones together.
Well, if you win another Stanley Cup, I was there the last time you won, so I guess I have to come along for the ride. Barry Trotz is here. He's still doing it down there in Nashville. So all you folks, I'm going to Nashville. We're gonna go woo-hoo, have a good time. Go to the Ryman. We're gonna do the Opry. Oh, I still have not been to the Grand Ole Opry. So let's put
Oh,
that on
God.
my. That's something I. The Black Crowes played there a couple months ago. I almost came down for that. The Opry's gonna be next time I come in. I'm gonna do that. All right.
I'll tell you what, the Ryman, if you can see one of those great acts in the Ryman
I saw
Theater.
Bryan Adams at the Ryman. I can't do better than that.
Yeah, no, there's some great. I saw Bob Dylan in the Ryman. It was fantastic.
I forget how connected you are that if I really wanted to do something, Dan, if I wanted to see Taylor Swift in Nashville, I bet I got a guy. I bet I know a guy. No.
I know a guy. There's a guy. I know a guy who knows a guy. Yeah, I'm the guy. I don't know.
All right. All right.
Depends
Well,
what you
shake it
want to
off.
do.
Shake off last year. Go make a bunch of draft picks. Go win the cup, and I'll be there to ride your coattails. Barry Trotz, my friend, future Hall of Famer, running things down in Nashville, Tennessee. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Fang fingers from Baltimore to Nashville. Stay with us.